As I was preparing for the sermon, asking God what is on his heart for us as a church, God started to speak to me about a scripture in 1 Peter, but before we get there, it speaks about hope, and that's really the title of the sermon, The Hope That Is In You. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, we read, "Now abide in faith, hope, and love, these three, and the greatest of these is love." And it's interesting to see that it is something that we need to abide in, something that we need to remain in and grow in. We need to remain in faith, grow in faith, remain in hope, grow in hope, remain in love, and grow in love. In love. And the greatest of these is love. And the reason why love is greater than all the other three, it's even greater than faith, it's greater than hope, is because faith one day will cease when we see God. When we see God, faith will be replaced by sight. When we see and know God in His presence. And hope will disappear because that what we hold on to, the promise, will be fulfilled. And we will no longer hope for, but we will experience the fullness of God's presence. And that what will remain is love, because God is love. That is why He is the greatest of the three. And so as we are here this morning, I want to share around this aspect of hope. And this question about the hope that is in us. Biblical hope is trusting in God, trusting in His promises. Hope is in the middle of these three. It's so powerful that you have faith, hope, and love. And in the middle between faith and love is hope. So interesting that faith will lead to hope that will lead you to where God is. That will lead you to His love. Hope is what we have when the promise is not yet fulfilled. We have faith in God's word. We have faith in God's promises. Hope is that what we hold on to when we are still waiting for the promise to be fulfilled. It's called hope. That's why it always goes with endurance and patience in the scripture. Hope is like a compass in this life. Is that compass in the midst of my circumstances when you see all around you is failing or depressing or against you. Hope is the thing that determines your reaction in the midst of your circumstances. When you're not sure how your heart and your mind should respond to the circumstances around you, hope is the one that directs you to the correct response in my heart and in my faith. So hope is what directs me in my circumstances. It directs me whether I should be negative, afraid, or expectant. Hope leads to fruit. That fruit that hope leads to, as it determines whether I should be afraid or whether I should be expectant, hope leads then also to fruit in my life. The fruit of hope is joy and peace and love. That is the fruit of hope. Jesus said we should judge a tree by its fruit. What comes out indicates what is inside. And many times we can see that in people's lives, how they react in their circumstances is a reflection of what is going on in their hearts. And sometimes we lose hope and we become very negative. Sometimes we put our faith in other things like money and possessions, and we even become loveless because our hope is not in God, but in that around us. There are so many things to be concerned about in our nation at the moment. From the politics to the scandals to the cover-up to the economics to the crime to the corruption, the poverty, the unemployment, the injustice, the inequality, the racism. Barclays Bank is leaving UPSA, racial tension on our campuses, the value of the rand is falling. And so we can go on with this list. There are just so many things in this world that we live in this nation that we find ourselves in, our circumstances, that necessitates a compass. It necessitates a reaction from our hearts and our minds. And one can so easily become negative. There is a lot of negativity and fear and frustration going about. And depending on what community you live in and what social, economical reality you live in, you may view and react to these challenges differently, to these circumstances. And one can so easily become negative and fearful, or even both. And in the midst of everything that is and everything that can possibly go wrong, the question is this morning, do you still have hope?
In the midst of the circumstances and the bad report and the news and everything that's going about, in the midst of your individual circumstances that might be different to the person next to you based on your individual life. In the midst of circumstances and all the bad report, do you still have hope? In the midst of the frustration and uncertainty in the context of your individual circumstances, do you still have hope? And more importantly, what is your hope based on? What is your hope based on? Is it a different political party? An economic turnabout? A job opportunity? Job security? Investments that you've made? Culture? Ubuntu? What is it that you put your hope in? In the midst of the circumstances and the reality of this life, what do you put your hope in? What gives you hope? And what is your hope based on? As I was praying, God laid this scripture on my heart that I'm sharing of this morning, and that's found in 1 Peter 3, verse 13 or 15. It says, it's so beautiful, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. My translation, and some others says it even more powerfully. It says, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is within you. And I think first and foremost, it is so clear and evident that as Christians that have been called by God out of the world to be His own special people, a holy priesthood, His own, our response to circumstances and that what happens in the world is meant to be different. Because we're no longer of this world. We are just strangers and pilgrims, aliens that are moving through. And my question this morning is, as Christians, as the church, what is our hope and what is it based on? Is your hope in circumstances changing, or is your hope that Christ is Lord of your life? Is it optimistic thinking, a positive attitude, worldly security, or is it something far more secure? Is it the fact that Christ is Lord of your life? Because that will determine your reaction in the midst of our circumstances. In the midst of the negative report and all the fear and the accusation and all the scandal and all the possibility of everything that can possibly go wrong, your response is what is more important than your circumstance. Somebody once said, it's not your circumstances that defines you, it is your response to the circumstances that defines you. And your response to the circumstances will be defined by your hope. What is your hope? What is it based on? I see many Christians are afraid, fearful, and frustrated. Sometimes even offended. Because we look at material things for our reason, for our hope. For the reason of our security. Instead of looking at Christ, who should be the source of our hope and our security. And I've realized it is because He is not Lord of our hearts fully. We lose hope, we become negative and frustrated and fearful because we haven't truly sanctified Christ as Lord of our hearts. And so in the midst of circumstances, we get influenced so easily by what the world thinks and says. But 1 Peter 3 verse 15 says, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. So powerful and yet so simple, but so significant. The Greek word for Lord, when it says that we need to sanctify Christ as Lord. It is a challenge in this world that we live in that is all about the human right and the individual rights. But yet it says that we must sanctify, we must actually exalt, we must actually establish, we must actually consecrate our hearts to God, to Christ as Lord. This word Lord in Greek means one who has absolute authority, one who has absolute control arising from ownership, the master, the one that I follow. In other words, when Scripture says that we must sanctify Christ as Lord, it means that we must sanctify Him as the one that has absolute control over my life. It means I surrender control to someone else, and that is so difficult in the modern world, where we are taught and indoctrinated to make our own decisions and follow our own way. And yet the Word of God says that we must sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts. I want to share with you four things why I am not afraid in this world. I'm not afraid in this country. I'm not afraid in Hermanus. Four things that helps me to find my way in the midst of the bad reports and in the circumstances. Four things why I'm not afraid. These four things I learned as a young man, and especially in the military. Something when I was really faced with fear and the reality of death. Something that carried me through all my adventures and folly of my youth. Four things why I'm not afraid, no matter what the circumstances, why there's always hope. And the first one that I want to share with you this morning, one of the first and the most important reasons why I am not afraid, where I always have hope, no matter what the circumstances, the first one is the fact that I belong to God. I am no longer my own possession. I no longer belong to this world. I don't belong to man. I belong to God. Therefore, I am not afraid. Because I don't belong to myself. I belong to God. I'm no longer my own possession. I was bought with a price. I was bought with a price. I was bought out of this world. I was paid for, and I was redeemed from this world and all its circumstances and all the mess and all the fear and all the sin and all the consequence of sin. This world, I was bought out of it, and I was paid for it by the blood of Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. I was bought at a price. I belong to God. I'm not afraid because I'm not my own possession. I belong to God. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 to 20 say, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You see, you are not your own. I remember as a child, my father was the head of the social work department at the University of Port Elizabeth. And as a young boy, I used to visit my father in his office to the university with all the students and the adults. And I had so great confidence. And people always used to comment on my confidence with the grown-ups. And you know why I was so confident? Because my father was in charge. But simple. I was not afraid to speak to the secretaries and the doctors and the students and all the lecturers, because my father was in charge. You know what? I'm not afraid in this world because I'm not my own. I was bought by God. I am His possession. Why should I be afraid? You see, you have been bought, purchased out of this world. And if you look at the cost that was paid for your life, if you look at what it cost to save you, it means you are very valuable. You are a precious item due to the cost someone was willing to pay for your life. Can you think of the most expensive possession that you have at home? You don't leave it outside, do you? You take care of it. I want to declare to you, you were bought at a very high price. Nothing in the universe is ever as expensive as your life. Nothing will ever be more expensive than your life that was purchased by God Himself. I'm not afraid because I was bought and I'm owned by God. I'm not afraid in this world because I belong to God. That should mean a lot. Romans 8 verse 32 says, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" You know, when circumstances and bad report come and so much fear and uncertainty, I'm not afraid. Because I know I'm owned by God. I was bought by Him. And if He was willing to pay such a high price for me, will He not also take care of me? So I am not afraid. Matthew 10, verse 29 says, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Do not be afraid. You have been bought by God. You are precious to Him. So precious that the very hair on your head is numbered. The second thing that makes me not afraid is the fact that I know that God knows my need. I know in the midst of the circumstances, the bad report and everything that is and everything that can still possibly go wrong, I know God knows my needs. And therefore, I'm not afraid. Because I know that He knows what I need. In Matthew 6, it puts it so beautiful. Therefore, I say to you, Jesus speaking, do not worry about your life or what you will eat or what you will drink or what about your body. What you will put on. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why worry about clothing? Consider the lily of the fields, how they grow. They neither spin, nor toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the fields, which is today and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, but your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He knows. He knows my needs. Therefore, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. He knows what you need. So sanctify Him as Lord. Make Him the master, the owner. Make Him the one that determines the direction of your life, not the world. Because you were bought at a price and you are valuable, and He knows what you need. So follow Him. God knows what I need. He sees all my circumstances. Even the hair on my head is counted. And all I need to do is to follow Him. In my circumstances, you know what? I do not seek provision, nor do I seek breakthrough. I seek Christ. Let me give you a valuable tip in life that changed my life, that gives me peace and security no matter what I do. When you're in circumstances that are against you, don't seek provision, don't seek breakthrough, seek Christ, because He's your shepherd. Seek Him and follow Him. Follow Him. In the midst of your circumstances, when all the fear and all the accusation and all the what ifs and possibly can be's, don't seek for breakthrough, don't seek for possession, seek Christ. Seek where He is in the midst of your circumstances, because He's there right with you. And when you find Him, follow Him. Don't follow breakthrough, don't follow provision, follow Christ. Because where He leads, there is life. That is what David writes about in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. What is the result of following the shepherd? I shall not want. Why? It reads so powerfully, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Do you see that? So in the midst of your circumstances, don't seek possessions. Don't seek breakthroughs. Seek Christ. And then follow Him. And even if he leads you through the valley of the shadow of death, don't be afraid, because he's with you and he will take you to the other side. The third thing why I'm not afraid is because not only do I belong to God and he knows what I need, he loves me. Not only do I belong to him and he knows what I need, he loves me. Who of you have children? Okay. You know what that means. There are many people that have needs. There are many people that have needs in this world. My personal resources are limited, but my children I love. So where's the priority of all my resources going? To the ones I love. I love my children. God loves you. You are not just bought. You have not just bought to be an instrument, to be a tool, to be a possession. You are loved by God. He knows your needs and he loves you. I'm not afraid when circumstances is against me. I'm not afraid of the bad report because I know God loves me. Not only do I belong to him, not only does he know my needs, he loves me. Ephesians 2 verse 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ." How powerful is that? In John 16, he says, listen to this, "These things," Jesus speaking, "these things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day," listen to this, "you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from the Father." Do you see how powerful that is? Jesus is saying the time is coming in which we are living that you will pray to the Father, and I am not going to pray on your behalf as an intermediary for your prayers to the Father. No, the Father himself loves you. God loves you. You don't need anyone else to make prayers on your behalf. He loves you. He loves you. He doesn't love me more than he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. So why are you afraid? Galatians 4 verse 6 to 7 says, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus." You are not just a possession of God. You were not just bought by him. You don't only belong to him. Not only does he know everything that you need, but he loves you. He loves you as a son in his house. Small letter, son. So I am not afraid. I'm not afraid about Zuma. I'm not afraid about this nation. I'm not afraid. Because my hope is in God. Hope is in him. My hope is in all the promises of God. This is my compass in the circumstances of life. This is what directs my heart and my mind in my response to my circumstances. Therefore, I'm not afraid. And the fourth reason why I'm not afraid, as my time is running out, is that how should I put this? The one to whom I belong, the one who knows all my needs, the one that loves me, he is God. He is God. I grew up as a young boy in the Dutch Reformed Church, and I love that church. My spiritual heritage is there. I met the Lord there. I got saved there. I got spirit-filled there. You know what? I remember as a young boy going to church every Sunday with my parents. The minister would always open up Ek slaan my oë oop na die berge. Waar sal my hulp vandaan kom? My hulp kom van die Skepper van die hemel en aarde. I look up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of the universe, the creator, the almighty God. Why should I be afraid? When I look at circumstances, I look up to the mountains, and I love mountains. You know, every morning, every time I see a mountain, this verse goes through my mind. I look up to the mountains. Where shall my help come from? My help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. My helper is God. Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but I trust in the name of the Lord. He is the creator of all things, the sustainer of all things. Why should I be afraid? Why should I be afraid? You know what? As a young man, I used to memorize that psalm, Psalm 121. I used to pin it on my hostel door. And then in my first room that I rented, its door, and I'll probably inscribe it in our new home. It says the following: I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. And the sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. How powerful is that? Why should I be afraid? Why should I be afraid? Why should I look to possessions and breakthroughs and provisions when I can just look to God and follow Him? And the amazing thing is, as I do, He leads me to where all these things are. It's a journey, yes, in following. So whenever I am tempted, I am not afraid. I remind myself of these four things. I want to encourage you to do the same. Whenever a bad report comes or fear knocks at your heart, remind yourself that you do not belong to yourself. You are owned by God. He knows everything that you need, and He loves you. And nothing is impossible for Him, because He is God. So do not be afraid. You know why? Because I have sanctified Christ as Lord in my heart. I have made Him my number one possession. I have made Him my hope, my solid foundation. My hope is not in man, it's not in provision, it's not in breakthrough, it's in Christ. And because He is the Lord of my life, because I follow Him as the one who has absolute authority, absolute control arising from ownership, because He's my master and my shepherd, I'm not afraid. It doesn't matter if I go through the valley, as long as He's with me, I'm not afraid. So I want to encourage you in like of that. Romans 8 says, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who judges and justifies. Who is He who condemns? It is Christ who died and therefore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sanctify Him as Lord of your hearts, and do not be afraid. Then be ready to give an answer for all who ask you about this hope that you have in the midst of the circumstances. People will ask you, why are you not afraid? when they ask you, be ready to tell them why. Because I don't belong to myself. God bought me. I am His possession. He knows what I need. And He loves me. And nothing is impossible for Him. So therefore, I have hope. Therefore, I'm not afraid. Therefore, directs my actions of my mind, soul. Because He knows. Because I know He's with me. Let us pray. Father, I thank You that we can build our hope on You. And it's not denial, Father. It's not escaping our responsibility due to negligence. It is due diligence in everything that I do. God, I prepare for my family. I prepare as good as I can, Father, in my labor and in my saving and in my preparation, Father, but I'm not afraid because my hope does not lie in my labor, in my savings, in my investments. It lies in You. So nothing can threaten it. So God, I want to thank You that we can stand before You as Your children, not be afraid of what the world may say and what might happen because You love us. And we belong to You. And You know what we need. And for You, nothing is impossible. Father, so I pray this morning. Father, I pray this morning for every heart that is here, Lord, in the midst of the circumstances, the individual circumstances. I do not know the circumstances that You are facing. But I can say this one thing, do not be afraid. Put your hope in Christ. Sanctify Him as Lord of your heart. And He will lead you through your storm. He will lead you through this valley. He will take you to the other side. Where there is provision, just follow Him. Just follow Him. And the peace that surpasses all understanding will rule and guard your heart and mind. And so, Father, this morning, God, I want to pray especially for those who are afraid, who are fearful, that are frustrated, that are confused and even offended. Father, I want to pray for each and every heart here, Father, that is struggling with the circumstances around them, Lord. I pray, Father, that this morning they will choose to sanctify You as Lord in their hearts. And if that is you this morning and you are struggling and God has been speaking to you this morning, I just want you to respond as you make a decision this morning to seek Him. To seek Him. If that is you this morning, thank you for those hands. I just want you to respond. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I just want you to respond to God. Thank you. Thank you for those hands. Just you wanted to respond to God. Say, God, I want to bring You my circumstances, Lord. I want to bring, You can drop your hands again. I want to bring my circumstances to You, God. I want You, just, God, I want to surrender my life. And I want You to think about your circumstances, where you are seated. I want You to think about your circumstances. I want You to think about the bad reports. I want You to think about all the fear and the uncertainty. And I want You to bring that to God. And I want You to name those things and say, God, this is what I'm afraid of. This is what I fear. This is what the report says. But God, today I choose to sanctify You as Lord. I surrender my life to You. I'm going to give an opportunity to some people that still needs to do that this morning. And specifically, there's some of us here, I believe, that has never surrendered your life entirely to God. You have never surrendered your life entirely to God, or you have drifted away, and God gives you an opportunity this morning to come to Him and to restore that into His hands. If that is you this morning, I also want you to respond by just lifting your hand. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Just put up your hand if that is you. You want to restore your life to Him. You want to put your faith in Him. You want to sanctify Him. Thank you. You want to sanctify Him as Lord in your life. Is there anybody else? Father, I want to thank You for these precious hearts that this morning chose to surrender their life into Your hands. Thank You, God, that their lives are precious to You. And God, as they place their faith in you, as they sanctify you as Lord, as Master, as Owner, as Savior in their lives, Lord, I thank you that you see it as precious. You will never let them go. You will hold them close to you. Thank you, Father, that you will be their champion. You will be their husband. You will be their provider. You will be their healer. You will be the host of the armies of heaven that will defend their fame, their name, their reputation. In the midst of sinners, you will restore them. You will prepare a table for them. And their cup will run over in the presence of their enemies. Thank you, God, that today heaven celebrates because the purpose of the cost is fulfilled in their lives as they surrender to you. Father, I thank you for these lives. God, I pray that you'll bless them. God, I pray for us as a church, Lord, that as we face this world, that we will not be afraid, but that we will sanctify you as Lord every morning, and we'll look to you, and we will declare to our own soul, like David did, that I belong to God. He loves me. He knows what I need, and nothing is impossible for him, and nothing can separate me from him. So why shall I be afraid? Because my name is in his book of life and my place is prepared for him. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Just as I just sense in my heart, as that testimony from Tani Andri went out, I believe there's a anointing on that for people that don't know the Holy Spirit, like she's testified about. And as Anu speaks about sanctifying Jesus, I want us, Holy Spirit, to also sanctify him in our hearts. This morning, I want to pray for people that don't know the Holy Spirit. You have never experienced the infilling in a place where he remains with you. So if the Holy Spirit is a foreign concept to you, then we would love to pray with you also, so we can help you sanctify him also in your hearts this morning. So that's it. So I think you can have a great day. Oh, yeah, communion.
Okay, the ushers. We're going to do this practically, everyone. We're going to partake of communion. And as we do, this is such a powerful symbolism of just acknowledging what Christ has done for us, but also making it part of us. Not just as an individual, but corporately. But this morning, I want us to focus specifically on what Christ has done for you. And this morning, as we partake of the communion, that we sanctify him. And maybe I must just ask the band, while we're handing out this, when we finished, so if the band can come up so long, I want us to end off with that song, All My Hope Is In You. I think it was the second song that we sang. It's a declaration of God's faithfulness. But first, we're going to make this personal. And we're going to sanctify God in our hearts. So as you have the cup and the bread, I want you to start to think about what God has done for you. And your response to that great sacrifice, that great price. And then I want you to declare those four things. I want you to declare those four things. And when everybody has received, we're going to pray and we're going to eat and drink together. So as you receive, as you're waiting, just reflect on what Christ has done for you. And your response to that. As you declare those four things. anybody that we skipped? Yeah, this side. Patrick? Okay. Anybody else? Remember the mothers in the toddlers and mothers' room? Okay, does everybody have a cup? Everybody have some bread? There's some hands going up in front of Peter. Louis da. Die van der Merwes. Het julle? Oh, you have. Oh, that was a thumbs up, sorry. Father, we want to thank you as we come to you this morning. As I always pray that we might know that you love us. How awesome is your love towards us. That you gave your Son, Lord, that you were willing to humble yourself so that we may have life. And this is life, that we may know Jesus Christ and the Father. Father, thank you that we can come to you because of what you have done for us. It's not what we have done. It's not what we have earned. It is by your grace that we can stand here today. And Lord, we come together to remember the cost. We thank you, God, for your body. Thank you for the fact, Lord, that you were willing to become sin for us. And you were willing to take the punishment that we deserved in your body so that we can be free. So, Father, as we eat together, we remember in Jesus' name. And we thank you. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for this blood that was shed for us, that justifies us, that cleanses us, that redeems us, that sets us free, that seals us for eternity. Thank you for the blood that was shed for us. Thank you that through a simple act of faith, in surrendering our lives to you, that we can enter into a covenant with you to follow you wherever you may go for the rest of our lives, knowing that where you lead us is eternal life. So Lord, as we drink this cup, Lord, we celebrate our freedom and our life that we have in Christ Jesus through your sacrifice. Let us drink together. And God, we sanctify you as Lord of our lives. In Jesus' name. Let's sing that song together. Let's just stand. Let's make it a declaration. And as we sing together, the word Yaku had for those who wants to sanctify the Holy Spirit, that wants to experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit in their lives, please come forward and we're going to minister with you. But let's sing together.
Sound coming on the wind, changing.